Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book and a bear.
Good evening, campers, and welcome to Camp Let's Fuck a Guy Called Russ. We hope you are ready for some summer camp fun as we are covering Wildfire by Hannah Grace. We are your camp counselors, aka Bryony and Georgia, and this week we welcome back some of our amazing guest hosts, aka Tay Reads and Kate's Book Rex.
I'm ready to set up camp.
What are we all drinking?
Today I am drinking something green because the grass at the camp. I thought, you know, what can I drink that I have in the fridge that is non-alcoholic because I had a really big weekend last weekend, and it's lime cordial. And I thought, what can lime cordial be? And I'm like, it's a camp. Green grass.
It just makes sense.
Straight facts.
Spitting facts.
I am drinking, well, it's just a mimosa really, isn't it? So I've got some sparkling and I've got some orange juice, and I would say this goes quite well with Georgia's because this is like the sunshine.
It's the sunshine and the grass.
The sunshine and the grass. Look at it together. It's the sunshine, the grass at the beautiful summer camp.
And then it's a slow rise of the sun. Oh my God, it's
absolutely
imagery.
Yeah, so that's why, because there's always, it's sunny at camp.
I am drinking Fireball and apple juice in honor of Wildfire Fireball. Yeah.
Wildfire,
it makes more
Fireball
sense than the fucking grass. I've also got a mimosa, but I originally had orange juice because they fucking toasted with orange juice to their peaceful coexistence, and I just added booze because I had a bad week.
She's thematic.
Play.
I could have said that with mine.
Yeah, you didn't though. Instead, it was the sunshine.
The sun works too.
What did we think of the book?
Okay, so overall, I enjoyed it. Russ is great. He's an absolute sweetheart. He's got a filthy mouth, which is just a great time. It wasn't as spicy as I expected, though, just because of how spicy Icebreaker was. So I was kind of thinking that the second one would be at the same level, but it just wasn't.
Yeah.
It was still a good time, though. I liked how they explored their own individual issues on, like, a personal level, like Aurora with her daddy issues and Russ with his. Like, they had very similar issues with their fathers, but, like, completely different at the same time. So I liked that, and how they learned to communicate with each other about their needs rather than just kind of letting things fester under the surface and then blow up. I am really excited for Henry's book, though, because he is our neurodivergent king. I'm so excited
for
that. Oh,
Henry.
I love him. He's so funny. He's just deadpan all the time. And I'm just like,
I love him so much.
He's so funny.
For those that were worried that Hannah Grace couldn't match the perfection of her first book, don't be. I loved it. I've not had like this type of thigh clenching, hysterical cackling and like squealing all at once since Icebreaker. Like, she's just got such a good combo of how she writes a book, and she's quickly become like one of my favorite authors. This is like so fantastically good that every single itch for me is scratched. Like, I mean, in the first 10%, we have some of my favorite smut of the year. Like, so say less. For me, it's an easy 5 stars, absolute perfection. When I wrote these notes, I said, if the next book is not about Henry, I will riot. He was talking about a baby at the end. Whose baby? But now we know the next book is about Henry.
Big slay.
Henry's got that tism riz.
So, when I tell you that Icebreaker was one of my favorite reads, full stop, because there is just something that hits different about a man who is like, I will literally do anything for you because of the power of the pussy. And this book was no different. Russ honestly stole my heart, and I don't think it will ever be returned. He is literally the sweetest angel, and the way he uses praise throughout his entire vocabulary screams eternally. Aurora was louder and a lot less shy. She doesn't know how to shut the fuck up, and that really resonates with me deeply. So love that for me. They're mix matched, but it fell together so sweetly. It was just really lovely. And Hannah Grace obviously has a lot of fun writing these books, because you can tell, because they're just so much fun to read. And it was just brilliant. I really loved this book. I think it was like a 4.5, 4.75 for me, because it wasn't as spicy as the first book. But Russ just like held that shit together for me.
And the dogs! The dogs!
And the dogs!
I wish... Love- Oh my fucking God.
And when Russ told her she drinks like a fish, she's like, I drink like a dog.
Much the same like everyone else, Icebreaker was one of my top reads for last year. I loved it so much. And Wildfire was one of my most anticipated reads for this year. But I was also very nervous because I was like, how is this going to beat Icebreaker? I just don't know. Well, it didn't actually beat it in my eyes.
See, I think it was like on the same level for me, like Icebreaker and Wildfire. They were very similar. I wish that Wildfire was a little bit smuttier.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think they're very on par, but I think Icebreaker was still a little bit ahead purely because Nate. He just fucked. Stassi is so good and I want that to be me.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, but I loved Russ so much. This book had me, like, at 50 pages, we'll make it fit, and that's what had me sold immediately. So, really, yeah, I loved this book so much and I cannot wait for Henry's book. I feel like Hannah Grace can do no wrong at this point. I'm so ready.
Yeah.
It shocks me that Icebreaker was her debut because it did so well.
I was literally thinking that. So I was like, no, it's not. It was so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's very surprising to me that it was her debut. We were talking about it in the group chat, actually. We were talking about how shook we all were about the Uber scene.
Oh,
Icebreaker.
An iconic scene.
Nobody else in the group chat has read Wildfire and everyone's expecting it to be the same level of spice like we all were. And I'm like, it's not.
It's because they're at bloody camp.
They can't really do an Uber scene when there's children around.
That's the problem.
Fuck the children.
Don't fuck the children.
Well, don't. But like also.
Fuck them off. Yeah.
I've got the probably smart editions coming.
They're the ones that look like children's books.
All right.
Maybe, why is there a house on the front page to you? And you're...
Because the house?
Because it's a house, Georgia.
Because the hockey house is a big featured thing.
But is it? Like, that could be any book then, because they live in a house.
You know what? Fuck you guys.
And the Wildfire one looks like a gingerbread house.
You know what? You look like a gingerbread house.
Insult, Caitlin. Well done. Your mother is a gingerbread house. Anyways.
It's literally the worst insult I could ever have used. And I bet you will need to recover for like 3 to 5 business days.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you anymore.
I think they're very pretty.
Okay, so we start off with our normal intro, which is who are our bitches. Bitch number one is Aurora, FMC. She's got daddy issues to boot, but she is a hot blondie with no filter. And honestly, it's half of this fucking podcast tonight. True. We've got Russ, aka Muffin, our MMC, where Aurora is out for validation with her daddy issues. Russ's father made him a quiet guy with self-worth below sea level. Not a slay.
Mostly same, though.
We've got Amelia, our FMC's queer bestie. We've got Xander, our MMC's sassy roommate, who is making us not hate men. And then we've got some other people who are in the, you know, camp, but we don't care about them. Because the most important characters of the book, full stop, they're not people. Fish, trout, and salmon. And much to everyone's surprise, they're not fish. They are golden retrievers and golden retraver puppies.
That's so beautiful.
Angels, we love them.
Big slaves.
They're the stars of the show.
We start the book off in Russ's point of view, and the frat pack are giving him shit about not partying it up for the summer and instead going to be a camp counselor. Russ needs the money as he's currently jobless, and it has like a super traumatic family backstory that's like adding to this man's burdens. It was like so nice to see some familiar faces from Icebreaker. Like when we started the book, I was like, there are our children. They're doing so well. I love that like everyone bet on Stassi crying as they all parted ways. We get that Russ doesn't gamble because of his dad, and neither did Henry, in solidarity. And that is king fucking energy if I've ever seen it.
Bye.
Anyways, it's Frat Pack's like last house party before Nate, JJ, etc. move on as they've graduated, etc. Chapter 2, and we meet our FMC Aurora, and she also fucks Ryan Rothwell. And at this stage, I wholeheartedly agree with her when she says that he deserves a medal for his services.
He does. Where is his lover? Like, where is his sweet angel?
I need his little story. He's gone on his professional basketball player, and she's like the photographer or something. What?
Or the trainer.
Yes.
He could fuck, is it Xander, the housemate?
Oh, look.
Some MMs.
Sports romance. romance.
Sports romance.
Because I wonder if we'll get Henry's book and suddenly someone else is fucking him too. And I'm like, all right, we need his story.
Isn't Xander's brother also in the basketball team? That would make
so much sense. He's the little toad that we meet at the beginning that we don't like.
And his stepdad's the coach.
Mm. Oh my God. The love story there. It's already happening.
Let us just ride it.
Honestly.
Hannah, we've got your back, babe. We've got book four ready to go. Ryan makes this joke about being the guy that everyone fucks before they find their soulmate. And again, we've just covered this, but my notes literally say, yes, I want a book from his point of view where he is finally the soulmate, cries in basketball romance. Aurora goes to this party with Amelia and meets our main squeeze, Russ, while raiding the kitchen for actual glassware. And he is like, oh my God, are you a thief? Russ has dimples and I've already dropped my panties to the floor, but Aurora is keeping her cool, so I'm happy for her. Even as she notices like that the rest of the hockey team are just like snooping around the corner, Russ starts blushing and is all unsure, and I just want to physically throw up and die because he's like this amazing combination of confident and then shy and cute and There's this moment where Aurora is like, why the fuck is this house so clean? And then she spills something and Russ cleans it up with like all the proper cleaning supplies, and she's like, oh, you're the one who dusts. And I just know that somewhere Georgia is just exploding from a man who cleans. That's fine.
I did explode all over the book.
Sticky. That page will now not open.
Sticky.
But then it's time for drunk Jenga, and Russ works up the nerve to take Aurora's hand and lead her to the game. And the fact that like Russ is mentally chanting, fake it till you make it, and you're a hot hockey player, and the only person who knows you're not confident is you, in his head, because like JJ gave him a pep talk.
I love JJ for this. He's just like, you know what, you are a hot man,
you're that bitch.
I love him.
Drunk Jenga kicks off and the banter between like Russ and Aurora continues until Aurora and Russ are dared to kiss. Yes, thank you, Hannah. Russ checks in for consent and capacity before they kiss. We love consent. But I mean, the kiss alone, that nearly sends them into a frenzy. So I'm so happy for them. And then it just like ramps up even more as Aurora draws a block that means she has to give Russ a lap dance for 2 minutes. Again, thank you, Hannah. Slay. Russ is losing his sanity over Aurora giving him this lap dance, and he just starts trying to recite dead presidents because she's too hot. And even the dead cannot stop his boner. Just as he is feeling a little bit more confident about touching her, the timer goes off. But he asks if she'll stay in place because he's got a boner and he doesn't want to show it in front of all his friends. A very big and key part of Aurora's character is that she has a praise kink the size of USA itself. So when Russ gets a boner, she's like, yeah, validation. I am wanted. And then Russ just gives her more without even knowing how much she loves it. And we get this quote. Listen, this isn't working. You're too fucking hot and the presidents aren't helping. I've moved on to Stanley Cup winners, but with you just here, he gestures to my thighs spread across him. Looking like that, he says, gesturing up to my body, it's gonna take forever. I love it so much. Aurora, like, selflessly stands in front of him to hide his boner, and he just, like, keeps close to her and has his hands on her, and, like, long after his pecker has deflated, Aurora does, like, an unhelpful social media scroll through her dad's new girlfriend's Instagram, and, like, Russ sees her mood change and offers to cheer her up, which leads to Aurora telling Russ to take her to his bedroom, which in itself is a feat, because at first he doesn't get the hint. He's like, yeah, I have a bedroom, and she's like, yeah?
We all have bedrooms, funnily enough.
We all sleep. I don't just sleep on the floor. They treat me really well here.
Yeah, honey. We have a couch. I have a cushion. I have a bed. It's just a great time.
It's so sweet. Russ's room is so tidy.
And she's so shocked. And she's like, there's pillowcases. It's so suspicious.
Aurora is literally there's like, do you sheets. Have a girlfriend? Because you have some decorative pillows.
Yeah.
But alas, he does not. Just trauma. Either way, Aurora teases him. We get some quotes. I don't think you brought me up here to hear about my life, did you? I shuffle closer, legs widening to accommodate his huge frame, and lean back on my hands. Or do you need a Jenga tower to want to touch me? Should I find a board game? What about 7 minutes in heaven? Should I set a timer? Russ responds with, Aurora, he says softly. His hands find my chin, nudging my face up to look at his. The moonlight peeking through his half-cracked blinds, illuminating him, making him look borderline ethereal. If a timer goes off, I'm smashing your phone.
I was thinking, or just
so I was like, oh my god, property damage?
Say less.
The fact that we get this much spice, like, in chapter fucking 5, again, it's insane. It's a gift. Am I dead? Because this is heaven, quite simply. Russ kisses her gently and then checks for consent and capacity again. Also, again, if people say checking for consent is not sexy, I refer you to page 45 of this fucking book. Anyways, it's on though. He is undressing her and saying how fucking beautiful she is, and he's all polite and respectful, except when he starts going down on her like he is a man starving.
Nom nom nom.
He's just nom nom nom.
Nom nom nom.
Yum 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 yum.
They are both having a good time until they realize that he does not have condoms, a theme that will continue throughout this book.
Can he stop?
Aurora is prepared, so we just go back to fucking. And the moment she sees his schlong, she is like, oh dear lord, I simply cannot work in these conditions as you are just packing too much heat, sir. But we get, we'll make it fit.
My jaw, my panties are on the floor.
Oh my god.
My legs are spread.
It only gets more insane as he starts saying, you're taking it so well, sweetheart. That's it, good girl.
I'm dying.
Two orgasms are not enough for him, and he gets her to a third before he's even done. Just
imagine
thank
what
you.
That would be.
Imagine what that's like. It must be nice.
I feel like I would get really tired, and I'd be like, that's
she definitely
enough.
Needs a hydrolyte. Post-sex, he ducks off into the bathroom, and she's like, okay, that's like my cue to leave, you know, one night stand. Only to discover that he folded her clothes up into a nice pile on the desk.
That's a big fucking slay, that is. Georgia would have staged, be like, you know what, I don't care that you want me
I'd
to leave.
I'm just we're actually here. Married.
Well, I'd be like, yeah, you must fucking love me. You've just folded my clothes.
There's no other explanation.
Aurora sneaks into the night thinking that it's just a casual hookup and nothing more, and the next day we get introduced to Aurora's mother at brunch. Whereas her dad doesn't even bother to show up and doesn't seem to give a shit about her, her mother is an overbearing hen who is just too much. Either way, Aurora and Amelia are now on their way to camp, so we're just going to leave that the fuck behind. Because conveniently, so is Russ. He is also on his way to camp. And he had been in the bathroom pep-talking himself to ask Aurora out when she left.
Oh, sweet baby.
She could hear him walking and thought he was on the phone to someone waiting her out, but he was like, yeah, you can do this, man. You're a hot hockey player. You can ask her out.
You are a hot hockey player. He opens the door, like, ready, and he's like,
oh, she's gone.
She's gone.
She's gone.
He's like, it's so fine. Like, that's completely fine that she left. Insert footnote, it was not fine, but okay. Russ gets to camp and meets his roommate, Xander, and they bond, which is lovely. And we learn that, like, signal is super spotty at this camp, which is, like, a relief for our boy, because he can just hide from the world for a little bit. And then as they're sorted into, like, their groups for the entire summer camp, we learn that Aurora and Russ are on the same team. Fantastic.
Shocker.
Russ assumes that she would be uncomfortable around him, so he's like giving her the cold shoulder and space because he's like, I don't want to step on her toes or make her feel a certain type of way. And she's just like, oh, okay, fuck me then, you hate me. We also meet Fish at this moment and her golden retriever Fish. Puppies, Trout and Salmon, and this is the most important thing to ever exist.
They are the best characters Hannah Grace has ever written.
Their team leader, Jenna, is essentially like Aurora's adoptive sister. And so Aurora's like, heads up, I did fuck him before I got here. Full disclosure. And Jenna's like, well, just remember, you can't fuck here because there's no fraternization, right? That's the rule. Big rule. Hee hee ha ha.
Worst rule I've ever heard.
I mean, again, it's probably for the children, but that's fine.
Get rid of the kids.
I don't care about the kids.
It's team building icebreaker time and the gang are jumping between random.
You said icebreaker.
Yeah. Icebreaker. It's an icebreaker. But there's also the book. It's multi-layered. So the gang are jumping between random bits when Aurora is scared to make the next jump because it's too much. She's a tiny, tiny human. Russ, like, talks to her and is like, trust me, I got you. And we all collectively, like, jump
platforms. I got you, baby girl.
I got you. Do you trust me?
Take my hand. Just... Take a breath. Hold me close. Take my hand. Take a breath.
It's not a musical.
And take one
it's a musical.
Step.
Yes.
Keep your eyes locked tonight. And let the music be your guide. Okay.
Okay. Won't you? Anyway, so we all collectively jump platforms and climb him like a tree, and that's fine. Turns out Aurora is thinking the same thing because as they're all huddled together, like for the last 30 seconds, Russ is chanting the names of hockey teams again, and Aurora feels his boner on her stomach.
on her stomach.
Stomach?
On her
stomach.
On her chin.
So after he realizes that they're both in the same camp and the same little team, he is panicking and he has to call JJ for some advice. Russ is spiraling a little bit because he thinks Aurora isn't interested in him at all because of her little disappearing act back in his room earlier. JJ gives some solid advice. They discuss the boner rubbing from earlier against her stomach. Russ gets a text from his shitty dad asking for more money, which kills his good mood immediately. Russ decides to take a walk and he fills up his and Xander's water bottles, and we love a hydrated king. He proceeds to literally bump into Aurora on his way. They have a low-key awkward encounter. Russ notices she's not herself, but she deflects and leaves. Following day, we have some CPR training, and Russ, noticing that Aurora is uncomfortable with Clay, who we don't like all that much, he volunteers to partner up with her to do the CPR stuff. Russ says to Aurora, "Your entire body language changes when he's near you," and Rory responds, "You seem to have noticed a lot about my body for someone who's barely looked at me since we got here." We love a direct queen.
The shade.
I love it.
She's so sassy, and I love her. I want to be her when I grow up. That night, Aurora proceeds to get absolutely tanked at a party, and Russ is keeping his distance from her, but she tracks him down anyway to ask why he's avoiding her. He tells her she's drunk. He doesn't want to get into trouble by doing the same. Before much else can go on, they are interrupted and they have to hide because Jenna is walking past with the dogs.
With the very dogs. Important.
And so they have to not get caught doing anything compromising. Russ helps Rory back to her cabin after danger has passed, and he gets her some water.
I love Rory. That. It's so sweet.
I know. I love them. She bare reveals
minimum.
To
bare minimum. Get me some water.
Bare fucking minimum. But
Rory tells Russ why she's had a bad day, opens up about a shitty sperm donor of a father who hasn't even opened the birthday present that she got for him. Russ takes her back to her cabin and convinces her to go to bed. Rory asks him to stay until she falls asleep because, and I quote, "It's easier to wake up and you're not here than it is to watch you leave me." And honestly, my heart just absolutely broke for her. Oh my,
Rory! I'm distressed.
The next morning, Rory isn't at breakfast. So as promised, Russ takes her some breakfast. Rory is confused because she's still convinced that he fucking hates her. Russ explains he likes her, but because she left after their night together without a goodbye, he assumes that she didn't like him. We find out that actually, Russ was giving himself a cheeky little pep talk in the bathroom to hype himself up to ask her out, which is why he was taking so long, which is why Rory thought he was waiting for her to leave.
Oh,
you're so precious.
So precious.
Rory is horrified they had the miscommunication trope, same. Yeah. And Russ reminds her that although he likes her, he cannot risk his job at the camp. They then proceed to toast to their peaceful coexistence with orange juice, hence the drink.
Caitlin's on theme. She's got it. Cheers. Cheers to our collective brain cell.
Xander knows something is up later because Russ is just far too happy after he saw Rory and they had this discussion. As usual, Russy boy deflects. Later, we get them hanging out together, building their friendship. They are painting together and Rory jumps onto Russ's shoulders, and it's not even like a sexy way.
She just tackles.
It's just a cute. It's just a tackle, piggyback.
But with a fucking coochie to his head.
What do they call that? What tackle do they call that? Where, yeah, like they literally just go onto their shoulders.
Or
what's
it's
that?
Your labia on her head.
Yeah, but you know, tackle when you like get right up on them.
Oh, you mean a mark? Yet? A specky.
A specky, that's it.
But she's on his shoulders painting.
Right, no
TV. Oh, so not just a vagina to the head. Bang.
No, she's giving him a specky. Ah. It's vag to face. It's not from behind.
Yeah,
it's up
no, it's
front.
Gotta be vag to face. Yeah.
Boom. Okay. She's like, eat this.
In 500 meters, turn right and eat this.
Rory and Russ continue to hang out, build their relationship. We get some cute back and forth with them when she wants to be carried back to the cabin and he refuses and instead picks up the puppy. What an absolute mood though. We get another quote when Russ walks Rory back to her cabin. He says, "I'm watching you go in so you don't have to watch me leave." And honestly, I died. He remembered and she's just like,
He listened, sweet he baby. Absorbed, and he changed his actions accordingly.
I can't even tell who I prefer, Nate or Russ, because...
So sweet. It's a different... It's just different.
They're different.
Yeah, I agree. They're just very, very different.
The next day, Rory's grumpy because she had the night shift with the campers. Clay was her partner, and she didn't get much sleep between his flirting and then accidentally scaring the kids and keeping everybody awake and screaming the whole night. Russ is low-key happy about it. Get wrecked, Clay. We discover that it's Father's Day, and both Russ and Rory aren't too pleased about this news. Rory continues to be hilarious and says, "I will spiral later alone like a regular person," and I can relate. right. We get some internal thoughts from Russ. We learn the reason he's so clean, quiet, and organized is because it's how he stayed safe and out of his dad's way as a kid, and collectively our hearts break for baby Russ. That bit I read and I was like, oh my God, Russ, I love you. I will protect you and wrap you in cotton wool and just
yeah, cotton wool and keep him in my basement.
Some of us don't have a basement.
Some of us have to work with what we've got.
Just have a spare room and that's about it. Not even bars in the window.
I have like a room inside my carport, which is like pretty dungy. I could probably keep him in there.
I have a manhole in my garage that like he could probably.
It's built for him. It's a man.
Later, Russ tells Rory, you deserve people in your life who make you feel good. She tells him that he makes her feel good and then just kind of stares at him as if she wants to ask him a question. He tells her, just ask me, sweetheart. I promise I'm not going anywhere. And literally, every time he calls her sweetheart, I just
what,
die.
To die?
I just melt into a puddle because it does it for me every single fucking time.
Yeah.
The baby.
She doesn't ask any questions and we kind of move on. The next morning, Russ is interrupted by multiple phone calls from his brother, who's very rude, calls him a piece of shit. Ethan, who is his brother, tells Russ that their dad is in hospital and he has to go there or he will come and drag him there himself. We know the last thing Russ wants is for anyone to know about his dad, so he eventually and very reluctantly decides to go to do that. Russ lets Jenna, the camp counselor leader person, know and asks that she keeps it to herself, and then he heads off to the hospital. Russ arrives to the hospital, discovers that Ethan, his brother, is across the country and lied to him to get him to the hospital. Dick. Russ has a very frank conversation with his mother about his shitty childhood, telling her, you've never put me first ever. Russ tells her about his dad asking for money, which she didn't know about, and reveals the shitty things that his dad says to him when he doesn't pay up. We get this quote, he makes me feel like I don't deserve the good things in my life. He makes me feel like no one could ever want me, because if my own dad won't pick me over a poker game, why would someone else? My heart just absolutely shattered at that.
Baby.
Russ's mother encourages him to tell his dad how he feels, so he does. His dad hardly responds other than to say he understands and that he knows, and ends with, you deserve better, son. And damn fucking straight he does.
Yes.
Damn straight. Preach it.
Because of how late it is, Russ decides to head back to the college house near where he goes to school and walks in to Henry absolutely plowing someone into the couch. It's Henry's bare ass and Russ is just like, oh my god, what's going on? Russ goes upstairs to have a lie down and hopefully sleep. He can't. He starts to get distracted by some voices. He goes downstairs to see that all the housemates are back because they missed him and heard that he was there.
Oh, beautiful male friendship.
They have a cute little catch up and they're all feeling their feelings. Russ heads back to camp the next day after he's had a little sleep. He runs into Aurora, who's quite upset that he left without saying anything to her, and she's feeling a bit vulnerable. She definitely has some abandonment issues, so I feel like that's a bit understandable given what we already know about her shitty dad situation. Russ apologizes to her and they go on a cute little hikey date. And Russ, like, throws her over his shoulder and carries her up the fucking mountain. And I'm like,
say fucking less. Throw me over your shoulder.
Throw me.
Throw me off a cliff. Yeah. Throw me off a fucking cliff. Throw me off head first.
If
that's how I go, that's how I go.
Russ and Rory spend some quality time together. Rory opens up a bit about her daddy issues and Russ reciprocates and tells her why he actually left the way he did and where he went, why he was there. Russ falls asleep on her stomach. What a little smush. And they have a cheeky little nap together. They spend more time together hiking, swimming, sharing some deep-seated trauma, and they get lots of smoochy feelings. So we just know that something.
Like, where's the boning?
So Aurora definitely has her camp goggles on because she's absolutely goo-goo gaga for Russ and wants him to give her a smoochy smooch. We speak with Mother Dearest, who is very practical when she decides to steal someone's cat and claims it as her own. We get this quote. I really do need to go. It's time for Cat to have his dinner. You called him Cat? What else was I supposed to call him? He's a cat.
She's not wrong.
It's a great name.
There is a storm brewing and our girl is fucking terrified. She ends up trying to hold out on going to see Russ because both of their roomies are on spawn watching duty. But she ends up giving up and going. But when she gets to his room, he's not there because it turns out he's on his way back from her cabin because he was checking on her to make sure she was okay. And fuck absolutely off, okay? Fuck absolutely offer us. That's adorable. They finally kiss at the camp and I can't wait for this fucking scene. Get ready for all of my fucking quotes. It's not just one. There is multiple. Fuck, Aurora, you're so wet. You're so fucking good, sweetheart. That's it. Let me see that pretty face when I make you come. That's it. Good girl. You feel so fucking good, Aurora. You're making me lose my mind. That's it. Show me how much you want it.
Oh my God. I mean, there's a lot of that's it, but I mean, that's it. That's all you need.
That's fucking
that's it. Fucking pound town.
But basically, they end up stealing one of Xander's condoms. And then the next morning when they wake up, guess who strolls in mid-gobby? Xander. Xander does a briny and is like, love you both, but I seriously need to shit. So can you guys wrap this the fuck up? Thanks.
Move. I can't move. Hold it anymore.
We end the chapter with Russ telling Aurora he's willing to wait forever for her if he has to, while she works through all of her feelings.
Oh, Russ.
Over the next few days, there are loaded glances, some steamy makeout sessions, and possums. Yes. Briny, I said fucking possums.
I fucking couldn't deal with the possums. I was like, you had dogs. Why did you need any more animals?
There's also a flooded toilet because a kid did a mammoth shit that blocks the whole plumbing. Fucking yikes. Our two kiddos are so smitten and I'm obsessed. Russ is absolutely head over heels for our girl and they almost get caught a couple times, but we continue to do the little sneaky sneak. Russ gets his feelings a little bit and thinks he's not good enough for Aurora. He thinks because she's borderline famous, because her family is, you know, borderline famous. We didn't really go there, but we don't really care. You've read the book, you know. And he's a fuck up in his own eyes. And that is a disaster waiting to happen. Xander tells him to buck the fuck up and stop being a pessimist. He literally slaps him on the dick. Buck up!
He's like, look, I appreciate that you're going through something right now, but you're also full of shit.
When he arrives back at camp, Aurora has managed to get all of his hockey teammates in. It's super adorable and they agree to end up going on a date and they end up watching Ratatouille and we get this moment. You are the brightest thing in my life, Aurora, he says, and you're a living reminder of the good things that can happen when I allow myself to be happy.
Oh, fuck off. God.
Scream
cries. They don't make him like that.
They have a wonderful night and he opens up about the trashing hockey ring situation that happened in Icebreaker. She falls in love a little deeper and we also get some fucking. So here are my quotes about this event. You take it so well, sweetheart. You're such a good girl. That's it, sweetheart.
Sweetheart. She's cocky. That's it, sweetheart.
That's it, sweetheart.
The nickname sweetheart does it for me every time, except for when Georgia says it like
in a Cockney accent.
This is never going to be sexy now because I'm crying. That's it, sweetheart. Show me how beautiful you look when you come for me. Another one. DJ Khaled.
Another one. Thank you. Another one.
DJ Khaled. Thank you and good night. They have a basketball tournament the next day and our girl does what all of us would do if forced to play a sport. She pretends to be injured to get herself out of it.
Tap that.
Absolutely stellar work, Aurora.
I love that Xander's like cheering her on. He's like, good job.
The following day is visiting day, so all the campers have fucked off to see their family, so it's happy fucking days, really. Psych! Aurora's dad, aka the biggest cunt throughout the entire book, calls. He tells her that he's proposed to Nora, apparently the girl he's saying, don't fucking know, over the weekend, and she said yes. He says that she's a bridesmaid, and I'll have Brenda, whoever the fuck that is, change your flight home. Email her your details along with your current measurements. You'll need to fly straight to Palm Springs for this to work out. For one split second, Aurora's like, wow, he actually loves me, hee hee. But then he slips in a, it looks strange in photos if you're not there. I'm not having our day overshadowed by rumors of a family divide because of you. Hey, literally fuck off. No one likes you. And to top it all off, she's not allowed to bring a plus one. Aurora is truly spiraling after this, and Russ just finds her having a bit of a mo. She explains to him what happened, and he's like, well, this just won't do. He says, fuck your dad. Not literally. You don't have to let him keep burning you, sweetheart. Sweetheart. Let's both stay. Let me show you how wanted you are. She's like, say fucking less, drop your dacks, let's go.
Drop your dacks.
Drop your dacks.
Show us your flippers.
Sadly, this moment doesn't last for long because old mate Jenna walks in mid-groat. They're like, fuck, abort mission, get your clothes back on. Jenna's like, hey, to add to this cock block of a moment, both your parents are here. Surprise.
Ah.
It's Russ's dad and Aurora's mum.
Not together.
Not together, they are separate.
Imagine she opens the door, they're both just standing there.
Aurora goes and sees her mum, but she's also like, babe, what the fuck are you doing here? And mum's like, it's visiting day, what do you mean? We get some awkward mother-daughter bonding time, and then it finally comes up that Aurora's mum knows about the wedding and has come to check up on her. We find out that as Aurora got older, she looked less and less like her father and exactly like her mother, and apparently her dad thinks that she's not his, which just, basically, he's just the fucking worst and we hate him.
We do.
Ew, big ick.
After this little mummy-daughter bonding moment, Aurora decides to face Jenna after she's just walked in on almost seeing Russ balls deep in her friend. Aurora explains how everything went down with Russ from the beginning and begs for Russ to not be fired from this. Jenna is literally like, shut the fuck up and go get me a drink and go back to work. And Aurora's like, wait, what? Jenna's like, babe, if I actually fired every staff member who fooled around together, they'd have no one left. And honestly, fair. That does make sense. Then Jenna whips this bad boy out. She says, I saw him the night of the storm, Aurora. I knew you'd be scared, so I went back to your cabin. I watched him hover around the steps to your cabin in the rain, presumably arguing with himself until he finally knocked. That's when I knew he cared about you, and I realized you weren't just doing it to give your middle finger to the rules. Jenna Slay.
Oh, sweet darling. I can just imagine him pacing out the front in the pouring rain, just like, I need to just knock. Just there, I need like, to just knock.
She's like, what is he
don't
doing?
Don't sure, but she's scared. And then he just
baby.
Encore. After this moment, we then go back to Russ, who is having his moment with his dad. His dad explains that he was kicked out by Russ's mother after she found out how much he'd been hiding from her. He explains that he's been working on himself and has changed and wants to be a family again. Russ is like, less talk, more action. Basically, just be better and I'll consider it. It's actually quite a wholesome moment, I won't lie. After this is Russ's turn to speak to old mate Jenna as well. She's like, hey, nice to see you with your clothes on, bud. Russ is like, kindly shut the fuck up because I'm about to go full speech on you. He says, I've spent my life trying to stick to the rules. I've kept my head down, kept my stories and secrets, and done my best to carry around my baggage alone. She makes me not want to be alone anymore. I'm sorry I broke the rules, but I don't regret it, and I'd do it again if it meant I could do it with her. I'm grateful for the opportunity your family has given me, but I'm more grateful for her. I'm fucking crying. I'm sobbing.
That's fucking beautiful.
I'm also wet. And finally, after that, it's the final night of camp and the kids have all gone. Thank fucking God. Russ and Aurora go back to her room and they decide they obviously want to keep the good vibes going and decide to be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. There's no hanky-panky. In the morning, everyone's packing up, ready to leave, and Aurora can't find Russ because he's actually hiding from her. He's actually playing hide and seek. Russ's phone has been ringing off the motherfucking hook, so she decides to answer, but oops, it's Russ's brother who advises that Russ's dad has entered an addiction program and they want him to come home and make amends. Russ comes out and is pissed that she has answered this phone call. Aurora apologizes immediately, knowing that she fucked up, but Russ is like, nope, get out of my face. I can't deal with this right now. It's too much. So Aurora
also
leaves.
But did she fuck up?
I think that they're not, like, they've just started dating. I feel like she knows that he's got issues with his family, and I feel like unless you've been together for a long period of time and you kind of know exactly what those issues are, I feel like it might be stepping over some kind of boundary.
Yeah, I don't think that Russ has ever actually told her how much he dislikes, like, his family, like, in general. Like, she knows he has issues, and if his phone is, like, ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing, I probably would also be like, hey, because especially since she knows the last time that happened, his dad had been hit by a drunk driver. So, like, I'm in two minds about it.
Yeah, I think I'd still probably, like, knock on the door and be like, hey, just your phone is ringing nonstop.
That is also a good solution.
I don't think either of them are wrong in that situation. I think they're both kind of like, well, yeah, but...
Anyway, yeah, she fucks off. Russ gets to his car ready to leave and Aurora's like, ha, psych, I ain't leaving. She says, either we get into the truck together and for the next 4 hours we talk, or we can sit in silence and when we get to Maple Hills we can go our separate ways. You can tell me as little or as much about your dad as you want. You want to be together? This is how we're doing it. We're not miscommunicators, Ross. Fucking slay. I
love that. And literally. I love that she showed him that he was worth more than the other bullshit. I love that she proved that to him. She was like, actually, no, I care about you more than I care about my shitty sperm donor. And she like actually showed up for him. And that I think that's what he needed. So I'm like,
no one's shown up for him before.
Exactly. And yeah, after this moment, Russ is like, I'm sorry, I love you. Let's be friends again. Besties. Russ finally opens up to Aurora about his dad, and we find out that his dad is low-key a horse girl because apparently his addiction is mainly gambling with horses.
Oh my god, Saddle Club.
Yeah. Hello, world. This is me. Life should be. So good. Anyway, of course, Aurora doesn't judge because she also has some major daddy issues. Same.
Same.
They're back. They're in Russ's bedroom, and Aurora's dad calls, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm not coming to your wedding. Suck my dick. She stands up to him big time and just ends up hanging up on him before he can even get another word in, honestly, as she should. The following day, Russ heads over to his parents' house alone, and they basically trap him into having a one-on-one with his dad. Russ's dad immediately apologizes and thanks Russ for helping him get his shit together by basically putting him in his place. They all make up and they become happy families again. Happy days.
Also, like, the fact that his family would put him in that situation gives me the fucking ick. I'm like, if my family forced me to talk to someone that has given me trauma, I would literally not speak to any of them ever again.
It's like, you're there to make amends. You can't make amends by making it worse.
Run away.
Shocking.
Leave them alone.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah. All right. And then we get to the end. Once all the dramas have been resolved, besides Aurora's shitty ass dad, we ignore him. Aurora has secretly planned for all of Russ's friends to come over and surprise him with a little homecoming party. And it's just happy families again. We're getting all the friends. Everyone's there. And then we get this beautiful quote. Tell me a secret, Callahan. I'm falling in love with you, Aurora. I'm falling in love with you too.
Oh, sweet.
The cutest. And that's basically how it ends. And then we get the epilogue. Aurora's opening her bookstore, which is such a fucking slay. And we love that for her. We must mention that Fish the Golden Retriever has had puppies and they get to and call them Tuna and Flounder. But then as well as this, they also get another dog, two cats and a fucking pig.
A fucking pig.
The end.
I love it. My dream life.
I love that everyone cheers and she's like, two unlimited animals. And he's like, no. And everyone's like, yes. That's the end of Wildfire. We actually did it, guys. In terms of a music reference, obviously there's a playlist in the book. Thank you, Hannah Grace. And there's also no fan art, but the Lenny Kaufman covers always make me drool. So just say less.
Can I make a special mention to the dedication for younger me who wanted to be his first choice?
Oh, why do you have to bring that up? So up next, we will be covering the last book in the Chestnut Springs series, Hopeless by Elsie Silver.
My Roman fucking empire.
Yeah.
Oh. The book that has now become my entire fucking personality.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for another episode, and we will be back soon with Elsie Silver. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you haven't already at A Book and a Bev Podcast. Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps. We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.